Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10. Today we want to think about the last two verses in chapter 2 of 1 John. So I'll begin today by reading 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. In the last couple of sessions, we thought about John's use of the word abide. As you know, abide is a very important word for the Apostle John, and it's a very useful word in helping us better understand how we can be close to God and how we can remain close to God. Our relationship with God is fixed. Once redemption has captured us, we're permanently in the grip of the Lord. But our fellowship with God can fluctuate. Our fellowship with the Lord depends on whether or not we abide in God. Abiding in Christ shouldn't be something that's forced or difficult. Abiding in God means being in utter dependence upon God for every need, feeding on Him just as a branch feeds off of the vine. Abiding in God, abiding in Christ, means that we pull all of our strength, all of our security from God. And that intersection between our feeding on Christ and Christ feeding us comes through immersion in the gospel, immersion in the word of the Spirit, immersion in the word of Christ, immersion in the word of God. So, John says, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. John uses the word when, which points to the certainty of Christ's return. The fact that Christ is returning is certain. It's an absolute fact. But the exact time and the exact date of his return remains uncertain from the human perspective. Of course, in the mind of God, the exact time of Christ's return is certain, it is known, and it is unchanging. But from the limited human perspective, the exact time is unknown. But, as I say, the fact that Christ will return to this earth is a certainty. In referring to this certain return, theologians sometimes speak of Christ's imminent return. The word imminent comes from a Latin word which means to hang over or to project over something. So the imminent return of Christ is an event that is always hanging overhead. It's constantly ready to take place. It's constantly ready to overtake a person. It's always close at hand, and it could happen at any moment. Other things could take place before an imminent event, but nothing else must take place. So, all of that means that according to biblical revelation, the return of Jesus Christ is imminent. And as we consider the timetable of God, there's no other thing that must happen before Christ returns. Other miraculous things may happen, but nothing else must happen. Christ could return at any moment. In verse 28, the Apostle John is introducing the motivation for remaining faithful to Christ and the motivation for remaining faithful to apostolic teaching, remaining faithful to biblical teaching. The great motivator for all Christians ought to be that Christ could appear at any moment. At that moment, at the moment Christ returns, Christians will want to be found living in faithful obedience to the Lord Jesus. Christians will want to be found abiding in Christ. Now, there's a biblical worldview principle that's important to understand at this point. As you may know, Bible students have varied opinions regarding future end-time events, but evangelical Christians agree that Christ is returning for his church, and you can read about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Although Christians won't be judged for their sins, they will be judged on the basis of their faithfulness in serving Christ after having been born again. The sins of Christians have been nailed to the cross of Christ, and there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But that fact does not erase the reality that God expects each follower of Jesus to be faithful to him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, the Apostle Paul wrote the following: "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, the same Apostle Paul wrote, "Therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God." In Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12, the Apostle Paul taught this: "You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. As it is written, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God.' So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God." And then again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 10, Paul taught the following: "So we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Now, in all these verses, Paul is writing to believers, not non-believers. So Paul's point is that those who have been faithful to the Lord Jesus will receive rewards, and those who have not been faithful will lose rewards. This event of judgment concerning believers is called the judgment seat of Christ. But this shouldn't be confused with the great white throne judgment of unsaved people at the end of time. The big idea, the main point for both the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John, is that the return of Jesus Christ is imminent. Jesus could return at any time, and believers will want to be found being faithful to the one who they claim is their Lord. And since the Lord's return is imminent, our behavior, language, and lifestyle choices ought to reflect that fact. Faithfulness demonstrated in biblical obedience is the issue. Now, as we conclude today, we can keep in mind two words used by the Apostle John, the words confidence and shame. In verse 24, John writes, "Little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming." In the context of 1 John, we can understand that the believers needed some confidence. They were being assaulted with false teaching, which might have caused some erosion in their confidence regarding their relationship with Jesus. Yet the apostle encourages them by reminding them that if they continue to abide in Christ, if they continue to remain faithful to what they had been taught in the beginning, then they could have confidence. They could have fearless trust that nothing stood between them and their Lord. There was no need for any shaky uncertainty. There is no need to be ashamed. Believers living in faithful obedience to apostolic truth could have confidence that at the appearing of Jesus Christ, they would be secure in their relationship with him. And my friend, all of this is as true for believers today as it was for believers 2,000 years ago. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10. Be sure to join us next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.